Welcome to Soccer's Life Podcast. My name is Axel. We have here a new guest. Karim is not here. He was not able to join us. But I'm happy to say that we have the first woman guest on the podcast. And so her name is Lisa. And I'll give her a little, you know, intro platform to say a couple things about herself. But basically, Lisa and I used to work together. You know, we were just, I guess, formal, like very cordial colleagues, you know, like going to each other whenever we needed something to be done. And then I think this random day we had like a wear your jersey to work day. And that's when everything changed. Like literally everything changed from there. I think I had like, I had my Zlatan.
The black
United shirt. And then she said, oh yeah. Like she just started talking to me about, you know, United and Zlatan. And it was just like this passionate conversation. I was like, oh my God, like not only you're a football fan, but you also happen to be a United fan. That's crazy. So a lot of her friends like really hate me because every time they'll be in the cafeteria, like I'll stop and like literally like hijack the conversation and speak with her for like, you know, 10, 20 minutes. And I'll just get these looks like, get out of here. You know, so I've been used to that. And our relationship has been really, really good since then. You know, every time we meet, we talk about soccer and all that. We don't work together anymore.
No, sadly.
But we've seen each other in the last
couple of weeks.
So especially, you know, working to make this podcast come through. So let's hear about yourself a little bit.
Alrighty. So as Axel mentioned, my name is Lisa. I am a huge Manchester United fan. Like I like to tell people is that I was born into this life.
Yeah.
So I have no other choice.
Yeah, you're actually born in England.
I was born in England. I was born in London, and most people are like, well, why aren't you an Arsenal fan or a Tottenham fan or Chelsea, West Ham, whoever.
Yeah.
But my uncle is the one who introduced Manchester United and football to me. So I'm just carrying on that tradition. Mm-hmm. Like I bleed, you know, bleed red.
Yeah.
love them. I also played soccer for a while, actually a long while. I started when I was 13.
Yeah.
And I played all the way through to junior college.
Nice.
Played at Oxnard College, Go Lady Condors.
All right.
And then after then, just a few traveling teams and then just for fun. And I did that all the way up until we moved to Washington, D.C.
Okay, that's really, so, I mean, my story is, like, not as romantic. Like, I was not born in England, you know, and I'm one of those, whatever. Although people will argue that a lot of United fans are in London, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, one way that they try to make fun of us. And, you know, like, all of the people in my family, like, they always, like, generally loved soccer. But, like, I don't have a dad or a grandpa that like, or a brother or uncle, whatever, that like took me to the stadium or told, you know, like nothing of that. Like I, you know, so I was like pretty exposed to soccer because, you know, coming from Congo, like that's the sport of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I kind of like had to do it myself, as in like, you know, just me and my friends.
Right.
Yeah. Like I didn't really have,
like finding a team.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not as romantic as that. But that's good, yeah. And you know, I know you played as well, and you know, we've talked about that, but not as in depth.
Right.
So we'll be pleased to like hear about that as well.
Sure. So I started out in midfield, outside mid. Mm-hmm. I get lost in the center, so outside is definitely the place for me. I played that all the way through college, but then as I got older and started to slow down and injuries, I tore both of my MCLs on my left and my right. A year apart from each other, slowed down, and so then I started to play defense. And so I play defense, and I would tell everyone I'm not the fastest, but I definitely strategy. Though my coach always taught me to work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you learn to read your opponents, you keep your eye on the ball. You watch for those crosses, those deep runs, and, you know, you should be all right. A few times I have played forward, but, you know, I'm not, I overthink when it comes to shooting. It'll be me and the goalie.
Yeah. That's the longest. Me and the goalie. All the time. I'm just like trying to my form
yeah. and you know, and I think I've only ever scored maybe two or three goals in my whole like career.
So in this like, is this still in the UK or you're already in the US at this point?
So at this point, I started to play in Panama. I was 13 when we moved to Panama. And then coming back to the US, 17, I missed the tryouts for the high school that year. So I sat out a year and then played in junior college. And then it was just year round from there. We lived in California, so the weather was great. You could play literally all year long.
Yeah, it's not like
you know, you have fall ball and spring ball and winter ball, and you might get like 2 weeks off in between each one. And it was just, especially for junior college, it was just training all the time. Two-a-days for a while, practice each week, games twice a week, you know, just a constant training. So I played, and then I played like that for a while, and then got a little burnt out, and then I stopped playing for a little while, and then I missed it. So I joined up with some traveling teams, a little rec team, was playing on two different teams. Actually went to Germany for World Cup, visited, my uncle lives in Germany, and went out there for World Cup, and you know, partied a little too hard, a lot of weight, actually.
Yeah, that's all of us.
Came home and jumped onto two different teams, and like within 2 weeks, like all of that weight was gone.
Bye bye.
Yeah, but it just, soccer's just always been a part of my life. It's always in my heart. I pass it on to, I have two daughters now.
Yeah, two little ones.
My 12-year-old plays. She's an amazing center mid.
Oh, nice.
She's really good.
I didn't know she played.
I wish that she would put a little bit more effort into it, because when she tries, she's amazing.
Yeah.
And even when she doesn't try that hard, like, she's still really good. But I just, you know, want her to, like,
so it's have just like that. It's just like the interest is not like
It's kind of like, well, you know, like, my friends play, so I'll play. And, you know, I'll play. And I have to admit, I am one of those crazy moms that ends up, like, having deep conversations about, like, why are we doing this? Like, if you're not interested, like, if you don't have the heart, if you don't put the effort in. I know she's probably in the backseat just rolling her eyes about it. My 5-year-old, we put her in her first, like, real season this year. I don't know. I think we might give her a break because she's not really into it that much. But right now, my husband and I, so, interesting story. I'm a Manchester United fan. Right. He's a Newcastle United fan. And we, you know, right now when our teams play each other, we call it the Kurs Derby.
Oh yeah, that's the
And the winning team, the person who loses has to buy the other person's jersey for the kid.
For the kids,
and the kids have to wear it,
so
until
those are two jerseys.
So two jerseys. So, I'm gonna put my husband on blast right now because we won our last game against Newcastle United, and I think that was all the way back in. That was actually all the way back in October when we played them the first time we won. I'm still waiting for a jersey for my kid.
Oh my God.
Justin, it's time to pay what you owe.
Get them jerseys.
Right?
Get them jerseys, Justin. This is
time.
Not correct. This is not correct at all. So, but do you guys, like, take them to games sometimes? Like
we've taken them actually to the women's team, U.S. women's national team. Okay. When they played 4 years ago, they played out in California at the Galaxy Stadium. We got tickets and took the girls out. Haven't been able to really take them to another game since then. I mean, I know that there's DC United out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really interesting. Actually, they're playing like tonight as we speak. But you know, ever since you know Wayne Rooney, you know, joined the team,
right,
they got a new stadium and everything. I mean, it's really like an exciting time for soccer and for city in general,
right?
And yeah, I mean, I went last season, you know, to a couple of games, two or three, just like that. And I really liked the experience. You know, like I would go. I still have to like make it at some point this season. But yeah, I mean, yeah, they definitely have like a great thing going on over there.
I'm a little disappointed in myself that I didn't make it out to any games for them this year. But now that we're going home to Los Angeles, we'll definitely make it out to some.
Oh yeah, I mean, you guys have two teams there. Yeah. You guys are spoiled there.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the teams on their summer break come out and do tour out there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we'll definitely try to get them to some more games.
Yeah, they always stop in Miami, DC, Chicago, New York, LA for LA, sure, probably. Yeah. And then the Rose Bowl is always like a fascinating venue for sure. Anyway, so I mean, obviously people would have seen this in the title, but I don't think we've mentioned this yet. This podcast is officially about the Women's World Cup that's ongoing right now, but also just generally about, you know, women's soccer, where we are right now, like what's going on and all of that. So I specifically wanted to like tackle this topic because, you know, I mean, also like I've been wanting to like get you on the podcast for the longest time. Right. And I remember I had Jason, who was another coworker of ours, Arsenal fan. So that was good. And before that, I had a United fan.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, like I don't really like want to have like too many United fans, because then it's like, okay, like it's too one sided. Right. It's like, you know, it's a little biased and everything. And then I was just like, okay, I mean, like let's find some sort of role, whatever.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be United, you know, it can be about anything else. So I was just like, you know, always thinking of, okay, like how can I do this? You went to another job after.
Yes.
So we were still in touch, but not, you know, we were not like see each other every day. And so it wasn't like a constant reminder then. 2 weeks ago when we met and you told me that you and your family were moving, I was like, all right, fuck this, like I really have to get this going now, because you know we spoke about Skype and everything,
right?
Which we still could have made happen, but you know it's always better like in person, you know.
Agreed.
For me, yeah, so it's always like a nicer conversation, and that we're not at the mercy of technology.
Exactly.
If it fails us, so yeah. Right. Yeah, so this podcast about, you know, women's soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, I mean, this year I've been seeing like I've seen women's soccer become more and more like mainstream, quote unquote. You know, I have all these pages that I follow, soccer pages, you know, Bleacher Report, Sport Bible, like whatever they are, you know, on Twitter, Instagram, and all that. I would see like all these posts every time, you know, like they'll have like these record-breaking games in terms of attendance, you know. And I was like, okay, like this is, you know, it's like really brewing right now. And then obviously like we had the World Cup this year that was scheduled to happen. So I was like, okay, this is like, you know, I just sensed that like, you know, it was becoming more and more mainstream. And also like forget the games and all that, but even just like some of the individual players, you know, whether it's like the Alex Morgans, the what's her name, Ada Ederberg, you know, and a couple of like key players who were like really, really mainstream and like were, you know, all these like ad campaigns with like their male counterparts and all that. So I was like, oh, okay, like this is getting interesting. So yeah, I thought that, you know, we would finally make a freaking podcast about it, find some type of angle and have a nice conversation. So yeah, so let's start with the growing popularity. The games I referred to this year were, I think, Atletico Bilbao versus Atletico Madrid. So these are two Spanish teams. And I think in January 2019 of this year, they had 48,000 people attend the game. And so this was more than what the men's team could assemble like the for the whole season.
Right.
And we're talking about the Athletic Bilbao here, they play at San Mames. And so that, you know, they had this this game which would be like part of the regular women's domestic league, because I don't think that normally they play in the men's stadium.
You know, they normally they play in their.
They do?
No, in their own.
Okay, in or their not, own, yeah, exactly.
Or their own, somewhere else, so.
Exactly, yeah, so yeah. And we're going to talk about all these things when we get deeper in the podcast as well. There was also Juve versus Fiorentina in March 2019, and this was like 39,000 people attending. There was also Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid. This was the biggest, I think, this year. Mm-hmm. And they had 60,700 people attending. So for everybody listening, I mean, this is like more than, obviously, if you're in D.C., this is more than double D.C. United field.
Right.
This is more than Stamford Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what's the Emirates. I think it's like barely 60 or right. 65. This is more than the Etihad Stadium, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, just to put things in context, that a lot more people are going to these games. You know, a lot more people are, like, you know, just generally interesting.
Right.
They're taking their family out, you know, right. as a day out. And also, not to forget, West Ham versus Manchester City. This was in the FA Cup, I believe.
Okay.
And they got 52,000.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
Yeah, crazy. And this was in May 2019, so I guess it was probably, like, the most recent.
Right.
Obviously, I mean, these are, like, groundbreaking records.
Right.
And you know, in the past, like we've had such records, but you know, it was like a long time ago.
Right.
One that I can think of is the 99 final.
Right. That was major.
The Women's World Cup, yeah.
And
at the Rose Bowl. I mean, you can tell us about that because I just found out before the podcast that you were there.
Absolutely. Well, I also would like to point out that while in the United States, that soccer has always been more of a popular mm-hmm. women's sport and more supported. These other big attendance records are in Europe,
mm-hmm.
where it's mainly a male-dominated sport,
yeah.
right? So having these attendances at these, you know, major clubs
mm-hmm.
in these major cities all throughout Europe is showing just how much women's soccer really is spreading throughout the world.
Yeah.
But like you said, I was at the 99 World Cup. Crazy. It was an amazing experience.
USA versus China?
USA versus China, the final. We were there for that game. Well, I think there were two games being played that day, mm. but the USA versus China is what I remember.
Yeah.
My soccer team actually was working the event as event staff. Mm. It was a way for us to raise money for our soccer team to get, you know, equipment and new uniforms and things. So when our coach asked us if who would like to come and work this event,
like, would you like to come and work for
literally
the World Cup
final? the entire team was like so down.
Right.
And so my friend Rachel Allen, shout out, and I were working the helping people to get to their seats,
mm-hmm.
and it was packed.
Mm.
Like, I don't even remember like one empty seat.
In like over 90,000 people.
Over 90,000 people.
Yeah. I mean, and the Rose Bowl is already like a massive venue.
Right.
What is it, like Michigan State?
It's where they always play. Like that, yeah. Where they always play, you know, all the football.
Yeah.
And,
the big
know,
house.
The big house. Yeah. And so, you know, the other thing that really, like, really strikes me is that it was a crazy hot day that
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
And there is absolutely no shade. There was like nowhere you could run from
that's
the sun.
That's the particular aspect about the stadium as well. It's not like some of these like semi-open stadiums.
Right.
Where, like, you know, they have like the Zizou, like
right.
ball spot, I guess, if I can put it that way. Like, this is, it's just like open. It's like a Colosseum.
Just open. It's
like,
a, yeah. It's a bowl.
Yeah.
A exactly. literal bowl. Yeah. And so, there were people out there and nobody was trying to escape from it.
Mm.
You know, there were young girls, there were men, there were older women, there were young women. There was just everybody, families, you know, single people.
Mm.
It was just so exciting and such an amazing atmosphere to be there. Towards the end of the shoot, I guess it was the last stoppage time. It wasn't stoppage time. It was back then, if you didn't, if the score was still 0-0, then mm-hmm. you played extra time.
Extra time, right.
So they had two rounds of extra time and it was still 0-0.
Mm.
So our supervisor looked at me and my friend, who are very small in stature, and mm-hmm. was like, we're going to take you down to the bottom where you're basically going to be on field level,
mm.
and but you can't watch the game. You have to watch the crowd.
Turn
your back has to be towards the towards the
spectators. The play. I'm always so fascinated by these people. Like whenever I'm watching a game,
right,
I have to sit and we're on TV. I'm like, there's no
like,
way.
Like, how do they do it?
There's just no way.
I'm, you know, full disclosure, I absolutely did not do that.
Yeah.
I know I was there to raise money for my team, but like, you shouldn't have hired soccer players,
yeah,
right? Like,
exactly, yeah.
My friend and I turned around and we watched the game, and it was amazing. Mm. It was nail biting. You know, China was an amazing team, defensively, did very well. USA did very well also, and it came down to PKs, and it was just like, I can't even really put into words how exciting and how awesome it was to be there to witness that firsthand, not to watch it on TV, but to be there to see it with my own eyes.
Yeah,
it was definitely something that solidified in me that I wanted to keep playing, that I wanted to be a part of this sport in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And I think it did that for a lot of women, a lot of young girls that grew up, you know, idolizing that 99 team and moving forward. It's what's helped to grow
women's soccer. Yeah, I mean, I was like amazed when I saw, you know, because like I didn't know a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about today. I did not know, at least in detail. Like I didn't know about this 99 final at the Rose Bowl. I didn't know any of this. So I was like, oh wow, like over 90,000 people.
Yeah.
Like at the time back then and everything. Yeah. So you know, those are just crazy things that I found out, I guess,
right,
while researching this podcast. More on the popularity level this year. Also, like, you know, most big European teams like have a female side as well. I mean, we can talk about the. If we start in England, you know, Manchester City, they have one, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, I believe they do as well, like West Ham and all those teams. Most teams do. In Germany, I really haven't looked at that, but I'm sure they do as well. In Ligue 1, they have actually the best team in the world, period, Lyon.
Yeah.
So Lyon was like a pioneer in a sense, like they really invested early on in the women's game, and you know, they have like the most amazing team right now. They just won the Champions League this year, and then they have PSG, obviously, who are really, really good as well, but then that's about it. Like,
right,
there's no other, like, nobody can fuck with them really in the league. It's, yeah, like they roll over the other teams. In Italy, it's a little bit of the same. You know, Juventus has a team, Fiorentina, all of that. But I haven't really you know, tuned in more. And, you know, obviously in England, United just assembled a team this year.
Really disappointed that
it took them so long. Yeah. I mean, and Barcelona has a team, you know, Atletico Madrid has a team,
right,
Atletico Bilbao has a team, as we spoke about. Real Madrid still does not have a team.
Which I just can't even understand
why.
I mean, I was one of those people that was heavily campaigning United on Twitter and was just like, this is shameful, right? Like, this, how is it that you don't have a woman's team? How is it that it's, you know, at the time it was like 2018, that you don't have?
Yeah,
I feel like there's a market for it. It's not like,
yeah. So to me it's a money thing.
It's
to me,
definitely,
it's always going to be a money thing with these people. Like, what I can tell from, you know, all these movements going around, you know, United investing in team and doing a lot of like transfer business, actually even more than the men's team, Real Madrid thinking about a team, is that right now people are seeing that, oh, like there's a whole new planet that we haven't conquered yet.
Right.
And, you know, it's like a wild, wild west kind of, like, you know, you can get early in the sport.
Right.
Whether you're an investor as far as like ads, marketing and all that, or like if you're a potential team owner, whatever, like there's just like a lot of money to be made.
Right.
And, you know, in this like new market that's like developing really beautifully. So United had teams before,
right,
but they were just, you know, they just kept being disbanded, whatever.
Right.
There was just like no real interest, because I guess from their point of view, like no money, like there was no money in the game. So there was no point in.
Well, there's the whole idea that you're only important is if you're marketable.
If you sell, yeah.
Right. But the thing that I believe is you can be anything and anybody can be marketable. It just depends on the effort that you put into it, right? And the angles in which you come at it. So I'm very happy that, you know, United has stepped up and has decided to, for whatever reasons.
Yeah. They got a promotion too. They're going to be in the Women's Sports League.
Yeah.
Now.
Yep. They played amazing.
The general one, yeah.
Yeah. The United Women, the Lady Red Devils, did amazing this season. And so I'm looking forward to see what they, you know,
it'll be interesting to see what they can produce next year, because a lot of the, I mean, I haven't watched any of their games, but I listen to people who go to the games and, you know, kind of like let me know, like that's where I get my, you know, like where I feel the pulse, like what's going on there.
Still haven't figured out how to watch their games.
I don't know. I think like you need like a MUTV.
Okay.
Subscription, all like, yeah. So, I mean, so I said, like, I haven't watched the game, but it's not even about, like, I hadn't even tried to watch. But I follow the team, like, I know what's going on. And, what I can sense is that they've been playing, like, below par positions, this year, meaning that this was not, like, generally, like, a star-studded team that they assembled. Like, they got, a couple of key players from Juventus, what's her name, Katie's LLM or something like that. They got a player from Liverpool who's also playing for England right now at the World Cup.
Greenwood,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's her captain actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was the Liverpool captain. I'm not sure. And you know, they're just getting like they got like a new Dutch player a couple of weeks ago, I think, who's also performing right now at the World Cup. So they just like took a bunch of, you know, like Real Madrid and the Galacticos at the time. A couple of like key players here and there that they could, you know, just put together and like do something good. And Casey Stone was actually, who's the coach, the manager.
Yes. Yeah, she
was
played for England.
She
right?
played for England. Yeah, a lot of caps. She was the captain as well, I think. She's also at the World Cup right now, like commenting.
Okay.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they can do next year, because they will be where they actually fit in, right? Where like where every other position
will be challenged.
Exactly.
More challenged.
Yeah, more challenged. Like, and give them a real game.
Right.
And they're not going to win like 5-0 every game. They might, you know, we'll see where they finish. But it's definitely an interesting time for them now.
Right.
And what else are we? I mean, yeah, so the World Cup, I mean, it's supposed to be the most viewed in history. I mean, so this, when we say that, we're talking about the people who are at the stadium,
right?
Like just touristing in France. Or people who just live there,
right.
And also people who are watching from, you know, their computers, their TVs, whatever. So I think that it's like they projected like over 1.7 million people were expected to like physically attend the games. And I think it was like 1.3 million in 2015 when the World Cup was in Canada,
right?
Just 4 years ago. And just for comparison purposes, the men's World Cup last summer. I think that I think 3 million spectators is what they got. This is like, you know, obviously the people who are there at the stadium. And yeah, I know that, you know, FIFA is like working on this plan to like get like a billion people just in general in the whole entire world like watch this. I haven't really looked at the latest numbers, but I think they'll be like really, really close. Because the other thing is, when we said that, you know, it's always about the Benjamin, it's always about the money.
Right.
Like a lot of things that people who are not interested in this game, this business, whatever, what they don't necessarily know is that if FIFA as a company, association, whatever, federation, if they don't have sponsors, then they like the games will not be like as easily broadcasted. I don't remember how it was in 2015 because I didn't watch any game at all, but you know, right now I'm watching on Fox Sports, so it's like easy to like watch the games. In some countries actually They're broadcasting the games for free. Like I know, Brazil versus Italy, like that particular game. I know that in Brazil, I think like 24 million TVs like tuned in, to watch the game, which was a record for women's soccer. And then in Italy, 7 million people tuned in as well to watch the game. And that was a record by landslide, for women's soccer as well. So we can just see that. I mean, I get the method, right? Like, let's test the waters a little bit, put it for free, and see...
And see if people actually tune in while it's free.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, that's a good way for... That's a good, like, gateway for people to, like, get in the sport. And, I mean, right now, if you're an investor, you should look at the Women's World Cup or just the women's game, like as a, if you're a marketing, like right. brand person, is what I mean. You should look at that as like the like some wild, wild west where you can just like,
I mean,
invest for cheap and get more than you would.
Right.
Yeah. It's,
there's that. I mean, and then even like companies like Nike. Mm. Did you see the commercial that they did
yeah.
for that, which yeah. was amazing. Right. I can't remember. I think I looked up on to see how many times it was viewed, like mm-hmm. on Instagram, which was quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like people watched.
Like it involved both women
and men.
Men.
Yeah.
A soccer player. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So like
I saw that for sure.
One of the things it showed was, why can't I? Alex Scott. She used to play for England.
Mm-hmm.
She used to be play for Arsenal's women's team.
Right.
She's a commentator now. It showed her as being the first woman coach.
Yeah, for Barcelona.
For Barcelona,
remember,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, she's telling like PK,
yeah.
like where, you know.
Yeah, and I remember swipe up.
Yeah,
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 you know, like.
Yeah.
And it was just like just seeing and them dragging the little girl along.
Mm-hmm.
Like now is a time to really. For these investors, for these companies
mm.
to really do it. And not just because, they should do it because these women are playing their asses off
mm-hmm.
and they're, you know, and they're good and they're amazing. But also right now it's generating a lot of buzz right now, especially
mm.
with the different protests that are going on. Like U.S. Women's national team members are, you know, suing the U.S. Soccer Federation.
Yeah, that's a good one that we're going to talk about as well.
You know, like
yeah.
all of these things are tying into the broader picture of what's
mm-hmm.
going on, you know, socially and politically in the world. And it's creating a buzz.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, so FIFA has like these... FIFA has a lot of sponsors, but they have like these like main five or six sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're Hyundai, the car car brand.
Mm-hmm.
There's Visa as well. That's a big one. I can't remember the other ones, but Visa, like, you know, issued a statement before the World Cup this year.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Susie Brown, I think, Visa's marketing director in the UK
mm-hmm.
and in Ireland. So this is like a direct quote from her. The women's game is now to a close. Is now close to a tipping point, which is what we spoke about in
mm-hmm.
the beginning. People have high expectations about the tournament in France this year, and we want to be part of this catalyst in getting women's sports past that tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
So this is exactly what we spoke about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, it's and it was also Visa, like they pledged, I think, to invest or like just to have the same strategy that they did for the Men's World Cup last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like one of the few brands to like, you know, do this undertaking, I guess. And yeah, it's just like a culturally relevant moment for brands, because I mean, we know that they're all about the money, like
right.
that's, you know, of course there's sexism and all these things going on all the time everywhere, but now brands are seeing that, oh okay, it's cool and mainstream to like be here, people are interested in watching
right.
these things, so now we're gonna go and
right.
you know try to get some money back. So that's another thing that has to be talked about as well. Let's finally get into this World Cup now.
Right.
Let's look at the, so I mean right now we're what is it the quarterfinals?
Yeah,
quarterfinals.
We're quarterfinals now.
Yeah, so it's gonna happen. It's gonna start this week, I guess, on Sunday,
Saturday.
Sorry.
Yep.
And so we're, you know, I would say halfway through the tournament, but we can quickly look at the groups.
Actually, Friday, tomorrow.
Oh, it starts tomorrow, yeah, with, Norway, England?
I'm sorry, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow's Thursday.
Tomorrow's Thursday, so it starts Thursday with Norway, England, and that's going to be a very, very, that's going to be a very good game.
Yeah.
And I do believe that England is really going to be tested by Norway.
Mm. Like, I they have a really good team, yeah, I mean we're gonna, because you know obviously like that their star player is not playing for the Norway national team,
yeah,
and we're gonna speak about that in another segment. But they have a good team even
right.
without her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't know. It's like Portugal trying to play without Cristiano Ronaldo right now. So it's like, you know,
right.
It's pretty much the same case. So Group A, we had France, Norway, Nigeria, and this is in Korea Republic, so this is the order in which they finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then Group B, we had Germany, Spain, China, South Africa. Group C, we had Italy, Australia, Brazil, and Jamaica. So I guess Group C, was like the group of death,
right?
That we always say, because you know Italy and Brazil are great sides, right. And I found out that Australia is also a great side with a great player in Samantha Kerr. We're going to talk about her as well. Group D, England, Japan, Argentina, and Scotland. And Group E, finally, Netherlands, Canada, Cameroon, and New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So what did you think about the first few games, group stage and all that? Like, just all games so far. Did you watch the opener, first of all?
I have to be honest. I did not get to watch the opener. Because of the move, yeah. I've just been...
Oh, you've been swamped.
Just, like, swamped all over the place. And I'm just trying to catch games where I can, mm-hmm. and catch up. The few games that I have been able to watch so far, I've been impressed. Mm. I mean, everybody is pretty much playing the way that I assumed that they would.
Yeah. So you haven't been surprised.
There's not been any surprises.
Have you been disappointed by a team?
You know, I was actually quite shocked that Brazil was beaten by France. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really expecting that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, France is playing at home.
At home, yeah.
You know, there's expectation, but not really.
Exactly.
And they're at home having a good time. So while I'm surprised that Brazil didn't win, I'm not too surprised, mm-hmm. because of who they played against.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it was a tight game. Like, you know, what was the score? 2-1, I think?
Yeah, 2-1.
Yeah, I saw that this weekend. But what I hear as well is that, like, Brazil is just like it's becoming like an older team, right?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
so 4 years ago, like, you know, they had it,
right?
And I think they actually they won the last Copa America, mm-hmm. Femenina,
mm-hmm.
That was in Chile. But yeah, they are, you know, they're getting older. Marta, the star player, she's retiring, I think, for the national team.
Well, awesome for her. You know that she is the top goal scorer in any World Cup.
Men's or women's,
Men or women.
How many? 16 or 17?
17.
17, yeah. So Miroslav Klose, the German guy, he's the second one.
And then who was
it?
Yeah,
for a long time. Ronaldo, I think, is up there as well.
Yeah, from Brazil,
I always have to say that. And then they have the player who, how old is she? Like 41 years old?
Marta.
No. Marta is like 30. Marta's like mid-30s.
Okay.
But they have a player, a defender.
Okay.
She's 41 years old. And she's like the player, men's or women's soccer, who's played like at the most World Cup, I think.
Okay, okay.
They have the striker, Christian, as well. So these are like figures that are, you know, they're kind of like declining, mm-hmm, like from an athletic point of view. Like, they've just been in the game too long.
Right.
So it's getting to a point where, like, they need like a cycle change in Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
So from what I understand, that's why they're a little, you know, they're still competing, but...
Right.
They just couldn't get past France. France, I mean, they have a young, exciting team.
Right.
New manager as well. I think, she joined them in 2017. I don't know if she's had a international competition with them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like some Euro or something like that. I don't know if she joined before or after, because it would have been in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, France, they got a team as well. I mean, so far I haven't been surprised really by any.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I read up about them, and I just generally know that the U.S. is like, you know, the team to beat. Like, the U.S. is the team you have to be, so, mm-hmm. they're just like generally really strong,
right?
And they won the last World Cup,
mm-hmm.
And then France, obviously, they're at home and they have a really good side as well. So I knew about that. I wasn't sure about Norway because
is always hit or miss.
Okay,
some years they're really good.
I wasn't sure,
and sometimes they're not. Mm-hmm. So you never really know who you're going to get when you're playing.
I was really pleased with Nigeria as well, actually. I was pleased, and, you know, I'm disappointed that they didn't advance. But I know that they're the current African champions, if, mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. So I know that they have a good team, and also they have a fire jersey.
Yeah. Still trying to get my hands on that jersey.
Yo, the jersey sold out in like record days,
like
everybody is trying to get it. Like, you don't even have to be a Nigerian,
right? It's,
you know,
fire.
Like, yeah, like, the probably the only people who are not trying to get the jerseys, like, you know, if you're from Ghana or something like that,
right?
You know, where there's a little bit of, like, you know, petty rivalry
right
there. that it wouldn't be cool for you to have the, you know,
right.
the Nigerian jersey, but everybody's trying to get it.
Right.
Like in the U.S. and France, England, like it's a fire jersey.
Right.
And both of them, actually, I like the main one with the stripes. I mean,
right.
Not the stripes, but like the weird
like the
pattern.
The, yeah.
But I also like the dark green one.
Like okay.
That one is really simple.
I really like their warm-ups, too.
Yeah?
Their warm-ups are...
Is it similar to like that pattern-y thing?
No. So it's black.
Okay.
And I believe it has like green flowers on it. But that... I'm like, if I can't have the jersey, I'll take the warm-ups.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
it looks so dope.
Yeah. It was really good. Even like just last year when they were released before the World Cup, everybody got their hands on that really fast. What else do we have? I mean, Germany, they're like, you know, just a respectable side.
Yeah.
Spain, I believe they're good. They don't have the, what's her name? Vero Boquete. We're going to talk about her as well.
Mm-hmm.
I knew her from the national team, but I don't really know any other player in Spain.
Right.
But, you know, I can say that arguably, like, U.S. versus Spain, what happened on like, last Monday, the 2-1 game. That the U.S. won like barely on penalties, like that was arguably like the best game, like in terms of just general content and like how both opposition like really were at each other's neck. So that was a good one to watch. South Africa, their first World Cup, yep. I think.
Which, you know, they didn't do too bad.
Too bad. They scored one goal. You know, you can be happy about that. Group C, Italy. Australia, Brazil, they've been outstanding. It always sucks when like there's a group of death like this, you know,
right.
like just three teams. So like, you know, I mean, the three made it, but you know, like as you go, as you advance, like, you know, you're gonna just two are gonna drop out like
right.
that, which sucks because you kind of want like the best teams like to get together at the end of the competition.
Right.
Brazil. Versus Italy, that was good as well. That I saw 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see some of these games, like Australia, Italy, or Brazil?
I think I saw Australia play, and everybody is really, you know, about that. What's her name? Kerr.
Samantha Kerr. Yeah,
yeah.
She plays
yeah,
for Chicago.
Sam Kerr.
She's and so young. She's like, how old is she? Let me research that. But she's a baller.
See, and like, while I see her athleticism... Mm-hmm.
I can really see, even just with just the picture.
Right.
I can see that she's...
In my opinion, like, she's an okay soccer player.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it's just like I've been too hyped up by by the media. She's a good player, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see what
What's the fuss about.
Yeah.
I've seen like just one game of her with Australia, but I heard, you know, when I was like researching for this podcast, like she's like one of the top players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's 25, so her career is like just taking off.
Right.
And she plays for Chicago.
Okay.
Red Stars, I guess it's the male team, the
women's team.
The women's team for the city. But, yeah, I mean, I saw her on, like, all kinds of, like, Nike commercials and all that. Like, I saw that she was, like, one of those that were, like, really marketed.
Right.
And, you know, sold, quote-unquote, to the public. So I thought I would, like, keep her eye on her just to see what's up. Who else? I mean, we can talk about Marta. Obviously, she's a legend. Marta is the, I mean, I always knew about Marta, even without watching a single game of hers. I knew that she was a beast. You know, she's Brazilian and all that.
Right.
She played, you know, all around the world. Japan, Brazil, U.S. I think currently she's with the Orlando Pride.
Yeah, yeah. Marta's been amazing.
Yeah.
She's, like, for me, right up there with, like, Mia Hamm.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christine Lilly. Just those, Julie Foudy. Just those names that when you hear them, you just are like I bow down, right?
Yeah.
Like Marta is definitely
up there for sure.
Up there for sure. It would have been nice to for her to have won or at least gone further in the. I was really expecting Brazil to go further, but you know, like you said, they're an aging team, and maybe we'll see them They'll rebuild with younger players in 4 years, but we probably won't see like Marta or even defender that.
But the thing about Brazil is that they just have like a large selection pool, and obviously we can talk about like the, because I mean when I say this I'm talking about demand,
right, of course.
And when I, you know, like they have a large selection pool, as in like it's a huge, it's like a humongous country where you just have like a lot of people who are, you know, play soccer and everything, like it's just part of their life and everything. So it's only normal, like, you know, if we get rid of like all this like systemic sexism and machismo that is prohibiting young girls and young women to like, you know, follow the sport and try to like make a career out of it.
Right.
Like you should have a large selection pool, and you should have some of these like techie players, like the Martas, whatever, like silky players. Like it's just like a Brazilian trademark, right? Like you're gonna have the Ronaldinhos, the Ronaldos. So in the same way, like I believe you'll have like a couple of other Martas for sure.
I'm sure you will when their federations decide to put money and time and effort into the women. I mean,
all these federations, they're all corrupt.
Right.
But I really liked Marta's speech, like at the end, like she gave us passionate speech when they lost to France this weekend. And it was, I would call it like a some sort of plea for young girls, you know, young women, whatever, who are, you know, pursuing the game and like trying to like have a career, like to just keep pushing. And, you know, like this, she was like, this is what I asked of the girls, like keep pushing, like cry today so you can smile later.
Mm-hmm.
Basically like encouraging,
right,
despite all the barriers for young girls to like get into soccer, play soccer, just encouraging them to like keep playing, because, you know, if not, like you don't have another March like we discussed. So I thought that was really nice and a nice way to end your international career. In France, they have a couple players as well. They have Eugénie Le Sommer.
Okay.
She plays in, I don't know if she's still in the U.S. She used to play for Utah, I believe.
Okay.
They have Amandine Henry, who scored like a similar goal.
I saw that.
Yeah,
like, Thierry Henry scored the goal to put out. I guess it's the same kind of goal to put Brazil out, and then Amandine Henry did the exact same thing. So that was very cool.
Yeah, they have Wendy Renard as well, who's like this tall, like 6'2" player, stalwart defender. And then who else? I mean, I guess they have like the Valérie Gauvin and all that, but they just have like a generally great team. In Italy, I've been impressed with I don't know if she's not the captain. Barbara Bonansea, she plays for Juventus, I think. She's the number 11. I mean, she scored a bunch of goals, so you would have seen her for sure.
Right.
She has like this ponytail and this bandana that she has at the like on her head, but she's like a particular type of player. Like, you know, like whenever we're watching a game, we're like, oh yeah, this person has character, whatever. She's that type of, like, if you just see her playing, like, you know, the way she moves, like her body language, like the way she like expresses the goals, you know, whenever she scores. Top player as well. Obviously, we spoke about Samantha Kerr for Australia.
Right.
And England, I'm not really familiar with the English team.
So Nikita Paris is a very young, like, hot player for their team. I think I watched their first game, and there was a penalty. She stepped up, took it, calm, cool, collected, you know, shot that nice, powerful, right up into the upper
beam.
Yeah, like
all of that.
And then, like, when she scored that, like, she, like, ran over to the sidelines and the camera and, like, thumped her chest where, you know, like, this is for England. She's definitely a player that, you know, we should keep our eye on.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember what team she plays for domestically. It's in England somewhere, but and I want to say it's Arsenal, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, I mean, anybody but United, because those teams, like, they've had women teams for years now.
And then, you know, there's Ellen White, who I believe plays for Manchester City now. She's a veteran on the team, very good. Like, just your dependable, like, goes out there, gets it done, knows, you know, what she needs to do. Not flashy or in any way, but is the person that you can count on to go out there, play her position, step up. make goals. She was actually involved in a bit of the controversy between England and Cameroon.
What happened? Yeah, that was disappointing.
And then the other player, obviously, is I want to say her first name is Emma, but I could be wrong. Greenwood. She mm-hmm. plays for United. She's a defender. She's a captain on the for United for her domestic team.
Yeah, that I know for sure.
But is a really good defender and has been stepping up and playing really well. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the teams. Those are some of the players that I've been checking out.
Yeah.
We've already talked about Marta, but I want to make sure that I say this correctly. She plays for Nigeria. She's a forward. Her name is Asisat.
I see what you're talking about, yeah.
Oshola.
Yeah.
She's dynamic. Mm-hmm. I love watching her play.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've seen the Nigeria games, and I don't necessarily know for sure mm-hmm. that we're talking about the same person, but based on your description, right. I think we are.
Yeah.
Netherlands, they have a good team as well. Mm-hmm. They have this player, what's her name? Lieke Martin. She plays for Barcelona.
Okay.
She's one of those top players who I'm seeing like everywhere mm-hmm. as far as like marketing. Like she's just everywhere. So she's part of this group
right.
That is really coming out right now. Canada, I guess they have Sinclair, mm-hmm. Who's a legend. She's played in like I don't know how many World Cups,
right?
And she scored recently, I think, their last game against I don't know if it was in the group stage.
Okay,
but I think that she did score. And then obviously, I mean, we can talk about the USA because that's just
right.
You know, there's Alex Morgan that is really, really good.
Alex Morgan, Mallory Pugh,
yeah. So my favorite player in this team though is Carly Lloyd.
Okay.
Like I just love Carly Lloyd. I've been exposed to like Alex Morgan for years.
Right, right. Know. Like
she joined Lyon and everything, and she's just like
I like her. She's a good player. Yeah. I think what she's doing, especially with you know, this lawsuit, mm-hmm. putting her name on it and putting it up top is great. But I don't know. She's not my favorite player on the team.
Is it like Samantha Kerr? Like, you don't really see what's the...
I mean, look, you put a ball in front of that girl, that woman, and she's going to... And you make mistakes, she's going to score on you, right? I just don't know, like... It's not that I dislike her. Mm. It's just that I look for other people.
So is there another person who could take her place with me like right now?
There isn't anybody else that could do it. I think Kristen Press does a really good job, mm-hmm. but I feel like they also have different playing styles. There really isn't anybody that is as prolific with their goal scoring.
Because that's the thing. She's prolific. Yeah. And like, you know, in the men's game, like, every time you see these players who are... These strikers, sorry, to be specific, who are just not that special, but, you know, you
they
put the ball
score.
In front of them, like, they're just prolific like
right.
that.
Right,
and they will punish you if you let them. But my favorite player in this team, and I understand she's not playing, Carly Lloyd.
Right.
I mean, like, oh, my God. I always seen her and everything. And I've seen that this year she's not a big part
right.
Of the as far as she playing was at least, you know.
The hero for 2015.
Exactly, yeah,
right?
Scored in the final and everything.
I really like Tobin Heath. She's a midfielder, outside mid. Mm-hmm. I just like her work ethic.
Yeah.
Like the doggedness. Mm-hmm. I lose the ball, I go back and
exactly,
I get it.
Yeah. And I feel Carly's the same. Like right. She has this I guess her brand or whatever, like these t-shirts that she has on her page, like the pose that she has, like for, you know, any midfielder or mm-hmm. like free kick taker, like they just have like this pose where like you see the leg like about to strike the ball and like the other arm like behind, you know, for the balance kind of. And her hair, like right. I just love everything about her. Like the way she, I don't think anybody celebrates the goals, like, with as much passion as her. Like, right. And then she also has, like, this huge dream that, like, I just love her as a,
right.
like, her character and everything, right, you know, right. what she does on the pitch.
Right.
And obviously she has a number 10, so it's a really important tournament for her. I'm sure yeah. it's her last one.
I believe so.
Because what is she now, 36?
Yeah.
She plays, I don't know where she plays right now. I know she was at City for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's back in the U.S.
Right.
But, yeah, Carly Lloyd is my... Like, you know, Morgan is like the, you know, beautiful face and all of that, the way they sold it to us. But yeah, Carly Lloyd right. for me is, that's my captain.
And, you know, maybe my issue, or not issue, but with the way that she's marketed
Alex Morgan.
Totally isn't her fault, right? Maybe that's why I'm not as interested, because mm-hmm. she is the face of U.S. women's soccer right now. But I think she's an amazing player, and like I said, she's a very prolific goal scorer, mm-hmm. and super like impressed with what she's doing in terms of this suing for equal pay, mm-hmm. along with the other women. But you know, she's got a lot to lose, a lot of endorsements, like if things don't go the way that
that they should.
And so I think what her and the other women are doing are very brave.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to give an honorable mention to Sydney Leroux.
I was going to speak about her. So she's not here. The only reason she's not here is because she had a baby,
pregnant.
Right?
She's yeah. still, babies do, I think, any day now. Okay. But like, I like her. I like her tenacity when mm-hmm. she's on the field. She's actually doing like a web-based TV show.
Yeah,
about
the Players Tribune or whatever.
Right.
Bad as a Mother, I think
yeah,
it's called.
Yeah. And I've watched a couple of episodes. And I just think it's amazing mm-hmm. that she is pregnant and continue to practice
yeah.
and play with her team.
Pushing the envelope.
Pushing it until, you know, I think in one of the videos she said this was going to be my last practice. She
yeah.
was like, because...
She was peeing all the time.
She's like, I'm peeing all the time. She's like, I'm having trouble, like, getting my hips, like, to, you know, go over the ball when
yeah.
I'm like... She's like, so my body's not doing what I want it to do, so mm. it's time to kind of give it up. I mean, she's like 6 months pregnant when
yeah,
she decided
saw,
to...
I saw all these headlines, like, you know, Sydney Leroux, like, turns up for preseason... 5 months pregnant or
yeah.
something like that. So you can see like a little bump or whatever. And then like you see like these outrageous like messages, obviously for men, like, oh yeah, my God, like that's like, you know, she's like putting her child in danger or whatever.
No.
And I'm like, bro, do you really think that like we're in the US first of all, and like this person obviously like has access to like a, you know, a gyno, and like,
right.
you know, she has like a medical
her
stuff, OB whatever.
Told her what our OBs tell every woman,
yeah.
whether they play a professional sport or not.
Physical activity
actually is so much better for you
mm-hmm.
and baby and in your labor. Mm. Like, if you can do it, right? Obviously, don't do anything that's going to be detrimental to you or the baby.
Yeah.
But, you know, running and...
She was doing what...
Doing your drills.
Non-contact sports.
Non-contact.
So she was not, like, playing against other people. She was shooting, you know, doing the drills, whatever. So it's like... And she had to like tell that,
right?
Disclose
like,
that, because you know people are there. You know they were getting a little
getting
out of
so
hand.
Just out of yeah, exactly out of hand.
Yeah.
I played with a went to school with a girl, and we ended up playing. Her dad had a team, like a recreational team,
mm-hmm.
and I think with her first or second. Maybe first or second,
mm.
we were playing together, and she was still coming out. She didn't play in the games, but she would come out to our practices
mm.
and kick the ball around with us and do the drills. And, you know, like, I think it's amazing. And I think that we'll see Sydney Leroux in another World Cup.
Mm. Yeah, because that's one of the aspects that we don't really... like automatically think about, at least I don't, like, you know, when I'm watching women's soccer
mm-hmm.
or just like whichever, you know, athletes. I can think about Serena Williams,
mm-hmm.
I can think about freaking Anna Kournikova, you know,
mm-hmm.
tennis, just whoever, you know, all these volleyball players, basketball players. You never really think that, because like, you know, like if I watch United, like it's
right.
not like, I don't know, Paul Pogba is going to be like away for a year
right.
because, you know, he's delivering a baby.
Right, right.
You know? So that's another aspect that we don't really think about. And I guess like a lot of women try to like squeeze as much as they can out of their careers,
right?
And leave it until the end, and then that's when they decide to like have a family, right. start a family. Those who want to do that,
right?
But yeah, like it's just something that I never thought about. As, you know,
I mean, and then on the either. Flip side of all of that is you do that, and this is in no way of a judgment on anybody who chooses to say I'm going to do career up until a certain point and then have a baby.
Right.
But like you just never know. Sometimes you wait, and then when you're ready to have a baby, there's issues,
complications. That, yeah.
You may not be able to, or it may take a really long time to get pregnant. Mm. So like my hat's off to these women who are like, hey, you know, I'm athlete and I have a career, but I'm also a wife and I would like to, or, you know, or I would like to be a mother. Mm. And, you know, nobody bats an eye when, you know, so, you know, like Victor Lindelof had a baby last season, you know, like nobody was worried or concerned about, yeah. like
Paul Pogba, a new father as well.
Right. You know, team. Like, yeah. Anthony Martial, all these guys had yeah. babies last year and nobody was like, oh, it's the end of their careers. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be like that for women either.
Yeah, definitely agree. Definitely agree. So what do you think is going to happen in the quarterfinals? I mean, let's just do like, you know, quick predictions right now.
All right,
now.
Quick predictions.
First game is
Norway-England. Mm-hmm. I have to go with England
because, yeah.
you know, I'm British. but I do think allegiance. That it's going to be a nail biter, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I feel that England's had it pretty easy so far.
Yeah.
And that this will be their first major challenge. Though Scotland did give them a run for their money in the beginning. I did watch that game.
Yeah, and that was obviously, you know, like all the rivalry.
Right.
And, you know.
Like 700 years. No,
yeah, I mean, I don't want to say hate, but like the potential conflict, like all the scenarios.
Right, right.
That could happen there for sure. I think a lot of like the big teams have had like an easy, you know, run so far.
Right.
I mean, I think France has had one up until they played Brazil, of course.
Right.
You know, same thing for the U.S., you know, up until they played Spain, you know, they're playing, what, Thailand, Chile, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time that they're participating in the competition. I feel like they really needed to be tested. And then what do we have? Friday, France, USA. Obviously, that's a big one.
Ooh, that's going to be a very, very big one.
Yeah, I mean, it would be amazing if that could be the final. But, you know, one of these teams is going to have to go home or stay home if we're talking about France here. But... what do you see happening here? I think France, I think that just in like in France in general, if I can like speak on behalf of like the French public,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it'll be really hard for them to continue watching the tournament that is like, you know, in their
right,
backyard
right.
if their team is not playing anymore.
Yeah, right.
So like I feel like they'll just get like a really, really big push.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have the local support and everything. Obviously, USA, it's like an affluent nation that, you know, like obviously a lot of people can like afford like going to these vacations in France. So they've had like a lot of supporters
right,
as well.
Right.
Probably like the second after France, or I mean, I know Netherlands is like really big as well, but it's just a neighboring country.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I think that France will take it.
I will not be surprised if France takes it.
Uh-huh.
Because I also don't feel like this team is as strong. The U.S. team is as strong as they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But my my prediction is going to be that the U.S. is going to pull off that win.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You know, France has that, you know, home field advantage, and you know, maybe just having that 12th man up in the stands
for
will
sure.
you know, help them.
And then you have Italy, Netherlands on Saturday, 9 a.m. I would say Italy. I haven't watched a lot of the Netherlands games.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I might have seen like Netherlands, Canada for like 20 minutes, but
okay.
that's about it. Whereas Italy, I've seen, you know, against Australia, I've seen against Brazil,
right.
and I've seen against China yesterday. So I. You know, from what I know, my perspective, I think Italy will take it. They have an amazing team. Their coach is really good as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Netherlands except for the Lieke Martins player that I mentioned. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I also know that they have a crazy support, actually.
Right. I chose Netherlands. So, it's a really a toss-up.
Yeah.
I just, was like, oh, I think Netherlands is going to win this game. So we'll see how that goes.
What do you think about the last one?
The last one, Sweden? Germany.
Yeah.
Just because they're just solid. It's just they're Germany, like their right? men's team. They're
it's just exactly they like play whatever happens.
Simple soccer, solid, you know, back to basics soccer. And
it, there's a consistency there that's like, you know, where you're going to get, like, maybe you're not going to get like a 9 or 8 out of 10 today and like a 2 out of 10 today. Like, you'll always get a solid 6, 7 out of 10. Like, just all the time. So nothing changes here.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I guess in the final, like, based on, like, how things are looking right now, in the final, obviously, I would say France or U.S. will go to the final. I think that's an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I can see Italy getting to the final as well.
Away.
Yeah, I can see Italy going to the final. I mean, if it's France, Italy in the final, that would be really big.
Right.
Just like, you know, geographical rivals and everything. You know, I've seen the men's team, like, go at each other time and time again.
Right.
The 06 World Cup. Yeah, yeah. The 2000 Euro finals as well. So that would be a good one.
I actually see Germany getting all the way to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a toss-up for me for the finals between England and the United States, because I do think that they both will win their next quarterfinal matches. And then if England and the United States have to play each other, the Kurz family will be a house divided once again.
Good. And I guess, the first game tomorrow, so it's going to be an exciting time right now. It's good right now because we have, like, what, 1 or 2 days break?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the same for the Copa America and all that, like, because, like, a lot of competitions are going on right now.
Right.
So it's a nice little break to have. And, we'll see what happens in a final. You know, we might have another episode about that as well.
Okay.
With or without Lisa.
Yeah.
We will well be in Los Angeles by then. Exciting times. Let's take a little break.
All right. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. We're very grateful. So Lisa and I ended up going on for 2 hours. And we thought it would be too long an episode. So we decided to split it into episodes. So we decided that we're going to take a break. We did take one, but we decided that we're just going to end it here. So hopefully you guys enjoy this episode. We just, you know, introduced Lisa and, like, how we came to meet each other and, you know, found out about our shared passion and love for the beautiful game. And then we just, you know, started to talk about the growing popularity of women's soccer. And we spoke about the current World Cup as well. So group stages, you know, best performances so far, top players to watch for, players who have been impressing, and predictions also at the end, who's going to win the competition. So, hopefully you guys enjoy, and see you next time. We'll have a second part. We're going to discuss the inequalities that the women face in the game, of course. We will have the financial inequalities, we have the systemic sexism, and we'll also have the equal pay issue. And at the end, we're also going to talk about the discrimination of women within men's football. So that includes coaching, refereeing, positions of power, and all of that. So thank you very much, guys, and stay tuned for the next one. Peace.